19. In my time of dying.
The power in the medbay was already out, and a cloak of darkness prevailed over its unfamiliar interior, save for the ambient glow of the diagnostic equipment, which cast a spectral blue glow on the figures moving through it, single file.
"Hold it,"
Voistok whispered, raising his hand without looking back.
"That's far enough."
Artigan glanced at him. He and Iagan were halfway across the medbay, creeping their way forward in almost total blackness. "How long can you keep the main power out?"
"Leave that to me,"
the guard said.
"I'll bring the droid around and take care of the programming to deactivate the charges."
Something shifted in the middle distance, and Artigan stiffened, glancing around. "Is there someone else in here with us?"
"No."
Voistok shook his head.
"I sealed the medbay up behind us. You saw me do it."
"I heard something."
"Shut up and stay put,"
the guard said.
"Don't move and don't touch anything."
He ducked his head and vanished.
"Father,"
Iagan murmured a moment later.
"You know we can't trust him. Why would you? He's the only one who can help us. We need him. What if it's a trap?"
The boy whispered, his voice going higher with urgency.
"Better listen to your old man, kid," said Voistok. "I'm the only chance you've got."
As if on cue, Artigan sensed something sailing past him in the blackness. Grabbing his son's arm, he ducked and felt it graze his shoulder. As the thing turreted around, he saw the GH7's photoreceptors blink to life in the darkness, two perfect blue disks hovering before them. Artigan listened and heard it again, the sound of someone else in the medbay with them, closer now.
"Voistok,"
he hissed, turning in the direction of the sound.
"Is that you?"
No one answered. In front of them, barely visible, Artigan saw the droid moving closer, its manipulator extending a long hypodermic needle.
"Father?"
the boy asked.
"It's all right,"
Artigan said.
"It will only hurt for a second. Then the charges will be deactivated. Go ahead."
"But..."
Iagan started to say something, and the needle plunged through his prison uniform and directly into his upper thorax. The boy let out a sharp squawk of pain, but his words were lost beneath the sudden volley of blaster fire from outside the medbay. Artigan heard voices, guards shouting at one another, and the shooting started again.
"What?"
Glancing around, Artigan Truax saw the GH7 withdraw the needle from his son's chest, pivot in the air, and go flying backward.
"What is this? What's going on?"
5 meters away, Voistok stood up, rising to his full height.
"What's it sound like?"
He turned around and faced the two inmates. Outside, the blasters had stopped firing again, and Artigan heard a muffled voice barking orders, demanding whoever was inside to open up in there.
"You promised we'd have 15 minutes,
Artigan said.
"I gave you the kipu! I gave you everything I had."
"What? This?"
Voistok held up the string with the knots in it and threw it in Artigan's direction.
"Come on. You really think Radik would let you out of here that easily? After what you know about him?"
"Father."
Iagan stared at his father.
"What's he talking about?"
"What, he never told you?"
Voistok asked. He was grinning now.
"Go ahead, old man. Tell your son why you're really here. Tell him how you brought him to this place."
"You don't know what you're talking about,"
Iagan said.
"Kid, I've heard just about enough from you."
Without taking his eyes off Artigan, Voistok jerked his right arm back and drove his elbow into the boy's face.
Egan's head snapped sideways and he went flying into a tray of sterilized medical instruments, vascular clamps, and orthopedic drills, knocking them to the floor with a resonating crash of surgical steel. He lay there motionless.
Egan!
Artigan shouted, leaping up, then rounding on Voistock with a savage glare.
You'll pay for that. Is old man,
Voistock said, his hand sliding down to the detonator console on his belt.
Nobody's paying for anything just now. That whelp of yours just signed his death warrant. And by the gods, you're going to watch him redeem it.
Artigan lunged at Voistock and fell on him, ripping away the guard's belt, fighting with a ferocity that was ultimately pointless. Within a span of seconds, Voistock had rolled free and hammered Artigan twice in the stomach and once across the bridge of the nose before smashing his skull with the butt of his blaster over and over.
Maybe next time you listen when somebody tries to teach you some carking respect!
Voistock's hand went down to the detonator console, but it was gone. Artigan groaned. With monumental effort, he managed to lift his head. His face and scalp were bleeding profusely from a half-dozen different lacerations, but beneath it all, something vital and defiant still shone in his eyes.
Looking for this?
Artigan was breathing heavily, barely moving air. In his right hand, he held the drop box that he'd ripped from the guard's belt. He no longer looked steady on his feet, but his entire countenance was blazing with a kind of desperate willfulness, a stark and uncompromising refusal to go down.
Come on and take it. I don't need that thing anyway!
Voistock snarled, smearing blood from his own nose and raising the blaster.
Not when I've got this! But Radik said! Radik's only instruction was not to let you escape.
Voistock pointed the blaster at Artigan's leg.
He didn't say anything about not killing you.
And he pulled the trigger. Artigan screamed. In the muzzle flash, he saw his own right leg explode in a gaudy bouquet of blood and gristle, leaving a ragged stump of gleaming bone exposed just below the knee. Curling back, he tried to scramble away and went sprawling backward across the floor.
Hurts, doesn't it?
Voistock stepped closer.
You'll never walk again. You'll never fight. You're a cripple now. You'll live in excruciating pain for the rest of your miserable life.
He raised the blaster, pointing it directly at the inmate's head.
Maybe if you beg for mercy, I'll spare you. Grant you a quick death.
The old man stared up at the blaster, his face momentarily evacuated of all expression. Then he smiled. It was a warrior's smile, full of pain and brokenness, and beneath it all, a kind of cold-eyed clarity found among soldiers and killers whose entire lives had been spent plying their trade in the marketplace of mortal suffering. Beneath the blood, the old scars stood out clearly across his forehead. When he spoke, his voice was calm and steady.
On my home planet, Artigan said, it is no small thing to make up a man's dying bed. It may only take a few seconds, and it may be nothing but the ground where he falls. But it is not a matter to be taken lightly. Are you sure that you are worthy of that honor, C.O. Voistock?
Honor!
Voistock snorted.
Old man, who do you think you are?
I am Artigan Truax.
His words had become low and hoarse, but remained unwavering. Beneath his lids, the whites of his eyes were turning red, filling up with scarlet from internal hemorrhaging.
I have killed men in 11 systems.
I have fought well and withstood much and have not given quarter. I will not be broken by the likes of you today, nor will my son. And I will not beg for mercy.
Voistok shook his head, finger tightening on the trigger.
Then you can
The words broke off. There was a sharp vertical crack as the guard's head swiveled around backward 180 degrees. Artigan Truax looked up and saw the Zabrak standing over the guard's dead body, holding him by the jaw and skull base. The one called Jagannath released his grip, and Voistok sagged to the medbay floor in a boneless, lifeless heap.
Jagannath,
Artigan managed. The red-skinned inmate was looking down at him with no pity in his yellow eyes.
Talk, he said.